welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders Podcast Series. The goal of this podcast is to bring semiconductor experts together to get to the truth about the matter at hand. We'll get right to the point and not exceed 30 minutes of your time. If you have a topic you would like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it.
My guest today is Michael Huckberg, president at Luminous Computing. His career has spanned the space between fundamental research and commercialization for over 20 years. He founded four silicon photonics companies, garnering a total exit value of over $1 billion. Welcome to the podcast, Michael.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a real pleasure.
The first thing I'd like to ask is how you came to semiconductors. You know, what originally brought you to the industry?
Honestly, it was by accident. So I got to Caltech during my freshman year, and my intention was to go into high energy physics. Two things rapidly became clear to me. One was that I was sufficiently far behind on mathematics in terms of the amount of math that I had done, and in terms of raw mathematical talent, it was just very unlikely that I was ever going to be able to carve out a niche for myself in that field. There were too many folks wandering around on campus who were just head and shoulders brighter than I was when it came to fundamental mathematics. And so I stuck with physics, but what I realized was that there are all sorts of areas of physics that are incredibly interesting and just a tad more applied than high energy. And I happened to be taking a wonderful introduction to semiconductors course freshman year, where you get to actually go in and build your own LEDs with your own hands, which is really cool because you get to go in and run the chips through a set of really improvised process steps. At the end of the day, you put some current through them and they light up. And it was a wonderful course. I ended up spending the next really 8 or 9 years all the way through my PhD and founding two companies with the person who taught that course, a professor named Axel Shearer, and with Tom Bear Jones. He's been my long-term collaborator and a person I've worked with for more than 20 years now. Tom was actually my TA in that course. So I really got into semiconductor optics starting as a freshman in Caltech, and I really never looked back.
Oh, that's a great story. So what does Luminous do, and how are you at the forefront of semiconductor and AI innovation?
Yeah, great question. So the first thing to know about AI is that it is a huge and rapidly growing market. So if you look at the dynamics in the field, right, 10 years ago, AI as a commercial field basically didn't exist. Now you're looking at just the hardware at the hyperscalers. If you look out 3 or 4 years, that's projected, just the AI accelerators going into the data centers, is projected to be like a $60 billion market. I actually think that's probably an underestimate because the last few years have been supply constrained. And what's been driving that is that for the first time, AI is providing a set of tools that are allowing us to do the things that historically have been the exclusive domain of the human mind, and do them in some cases better than humans can do them. And that's generated enormous game-changing capabilities across a variety of fields. Really, anything that humans can do, AI is attempting to automate. And you see that with the big language models, where you have people interacting with them as if they're a person, right? You have image recognition that's better than what humans can do. And the list goes on and on, right? And so some of the early applications have been recommender systems, where, you know, every time you're presented an ad by Google or by Facebook, there's a system that goes through an enormous, enormous calculation to figure out what ad should they present to you. And that's the primary source of revenue for these hyperscalers, right? It's serving ads and getting people to click on them. And that's all driven by AI. So it's a multi-hundred billion dollar opportunity just in what the hyperscalers are doing, where they're turning recommender systems into revenue from ad targeting. And if you look at where the applications are going to be for AI over the next decade, it's going to touch everything across the whole society. It's really going to be a revolutionary technology. And so the way that the models have gotten so good over the last few years is by getting huge, right? It's gotten to the point where training an AI model can take 6 or 9 or 12 months and consume an entire data center. And that dynamic has, what's occurred is that the models have been getting an order of magnitude bigger every year for the last few years. And the pace of chip innovation from Moore's Law, which is, you know, maybe you get 2x improvement every couple of years, just doesn't keep up, right? And that's why these calculations have gotten so huge. So what we are doing is we are building computer systems that are designed to address that problem. How do you build a computer system that lets hyperscalers and other people do calculations that can continue to grow at a rate of a factor of 10 or more every year into the indefinite future? And current computer systems just don't support that. So what we're doing is we're bringing a new technology into the mix. And that's a technology called silicon photonics, where you can actually build optical devices in the same kinds of processes that are used to make transistors. And they run through the same kinds of fabs, and they're built with specialized processes. But what we do is, it's gotten to the point in silicon photonics, and I've been working in this field for about 20 years, it's gotten to the point where you can build big, complicated optical systems on chip. And that's just happening right now. And what that lets us do is, instead of using electrical signals to move data from chip to chip, we can use optical signals. And that lets us break a very fundamental law of computer architecture. So there's something that was observed, it was actually a long time ago, but it's the von Neumann bottleneck, which is that you can have lots of computation and lots of memory, but the biggest bottleneck in any computer system turns out to be how fast you can move data between the processor and the memory. And that's because of the basic physics of electrical links. And if instead you have optical links, where the basic physics is different and where you can move data much further, what it allows you to do is to rethink the entire basis of how you architect a computer system. So we have a big digital design team and a big digital architecture team, where basically the mission for them is that the optics lets you move data from place to place in ways that you couldn't do before, over longer distances at lower energies. And now that you've broken the bottlenecks that are associated with being constrained by electrical signaling, the task that they have is to identify all of the really cool, innovative things that can be done from a digital architecture perspective in order to re-architect the computer so that it's easier to use and more efficient and more powerful, and build chips that no longer have to be bent around the physics of electrical signaling. And so that's a big piece of what we do, is that we're reimagining computer architecture around this new technology that lets us break some of the fundamental bandwidth bottlenecks that dictate how current computer systems are built.
Interesting. So let's talk about a little bit more about your offerings. You know, what makes Luminous Solution different and compelling?
So it's a great question. And it's a really interesting question, because, you know, I could talk until I'm blue in the face about all of the cool technology that we're putting into this computer. But at the end of the day, what really matters is what changes for the customer in the user experience of actually using our system compared to an incumbent system. And, you know, one of our founders, Marcus, he actually comes from the AI world. He didn't actually start as a hardware guy. He started as a AI ML software guy. And what motivated him to start the company was in no small part the fact that he was super frustrated with the computer systems that the hardware world was giving him. And he wanted to see computer systems built that were actually adapted to the needs of the ML community rather than being something that some hardware person imagined, right? So, you know, the company is by its nature very customer-centric because the person who started it comes from a customer perspective. So one of the big challenges with today's computer systems, and in fact, maybe the fundamental challenge, is that when you try to scale something up to a data center, you have this extremely heterogeneous memory hierarchy where you have your GPU, you have your on-chip cache that's super fast, and then you go out to your HBM and you take a big hit on the bandwidth to the HBM, but of course you have a lot more memory in HBM, and then you go out to your DRAM associated with your CPU. There you take another big hit on the bandwidth that you have getting there, but of course you have even more memory, and then the same thing down to flash memory, and then the same thing out to all of the things that are accessible through Ethernet or through InfiniBand. And so programming this as a coder, you have to reason in a very thoughtful way about what tasks do you do in what order using which pieces of memory. And moving stuff around among these different pieces of memory is sort of the whole game in terms of building efficient algorithms. And the way that plays out is that when you look at the utilization fractions for ML workloads on large clusters, like the utilization fractions are in the sub 20% range in many cases. Like these calculations are just really, really inefficient. And the reason is that you're bandwidth starved, right? You've got, if you want to store big models, and the and going to big models is essential because the bigger the model, the better the results. The challenge that you have is that you end up being 100% bandwidth constrained. And so what we're doing is we're building a system where none of those bandwidth constraints are going to exist, where you're always going to have enough bandwidth going between your processors and your memory, and where from a user experience perspective, every piece of memory in the entire system looks like one big unified space, and programming it is like programming one big GPU. And so what that allows us to do is to let the programmers who are doing ML innovation focus on actually building innovative new algorithms and developing new stuff instead of doing endless iterative work trying to get existing algorithms to scale up just a little bit more to get just slightly better results. So it's a big non-incremental jump. And the big thing is that our system is going to allow people to scale up to models that are between 2 and 3 orders of magnitude larger than anything anyone can do right now. And that really comes out of these digital architectural innovations that have been enabled by breaking these bandwidth barriers. So we're bringing a lot more bandwidth to the table. We're bringing a lot more interconnect to the table. And what it's letting us do is build a computer system that's fundamentally going to be a lot easier to use.
Wow, that's really interesting. So how far are you along on this?
Well, so one of the things that we've really focused on a lot from the very beginning has been interactions with our customers, right? And a lot of startups, a lot of hardware startups especially, have a tendency to go down the road of building something and then talking to the customer once it's built. We really didn't go down that road. I mean, Marcus and Mitch and the rest of the team, we've spent a lot of time interacting very directly and very closely with customers from the very beginning to make sure that what we're building is something that solves a problem that is of profound importance for our customers. We've built a lot of proof of concept components, chips, things that demonstrate that what we're planning to do is going to work. We're now deep in the process of actually building a fully integrated system, and we're aiming to be shipping that system in 2024. So over the last year, we've scaled the team up from 40-something people to close to 140. And we're deep in the guts of engineering the system and taping out the chips that are going to be needed for the final product.
Wow, that's exciting. So you have a website. Yeah, you have a website, luminous.com. They can contact you there. And you also just opened an office here in Silicon Valley, correct?
Well, we've had an office here forever. We were in a really lovely space in a basement in Mountain View for a while. And we've just moved to a beautiful new space in Santa Clara. The team is enjoying having access to natural light.
You know, in my bachelor, during my undergraduate, I took a Lisp class, and I remember thinking, wow, AI is going to take over the world. And maybe I was right, but 40 years later, you know, it's taken a while. But I really see a huge promise, and I think it's going to drive the semiconductor industry, you know, for the next few years, because, as you said, you'll never have enough compute power or memory for AI.
Yeah, I mean, the way that the models have gotten better is by getting absolutely huge, and there's no end to that in sight. So, you know, there's going to be enormous demand for silicon to support this. And, you know, I agree with you. I really don't see any end to this in the foreseeable future, because right now, most of the AI revenue is in a relatively small number of very large companies. But these tools are all open source, at least, you know, the base infrastructure is. And as a result, I mean, you know as well as I do, there's a whole generation of incredibly well-funded startups and mid-sized companies that are taking on big problems with AI. And as those get into the market, we're going to see a rapid diversification and a rapid growth of the different of the places that are generating, you know, billions and billions of dollars of revenue, tens of billions, hundreds of billions of dollars of revenue, not just being the hyperscalers, but being a whole new generation of companies where you're going to have hundreds of companies generating massive revenue instead of just a handful.
Yeah, I agree completely. I agree. You know, it was great meeting you, Michael, and thank you for your time. And I will definitely be visiting your new office here in Santa Clara. So we'll set something up.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening, and have a great day.